Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Audible presented by Trader Joe's. I'm Stuart Mandel, joined as always by Bruce Feldman. Bruce, today we are joined by one of our all-time favorite podcast guests, author of the Bubble Screen TV column on The Athletic, and noted Notre Dame aficionado John Walters.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. I was looking down at my watch this morning. I thought, oh, I'm talking to Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel today. Notre Dame must have a big game this week.
Well, who knows more about Notre Dame and these kind of situations than you, right? So
you're like, when Letterman would call Marv Albert out of the bullpen. Show us your highlights, Marv. John, come on and tell us about the 88 Catholics mm-hmm. versus Conflict. I don't know.
I'm a noted expert on vestigial football programs.
So can we start here, John?
Yes.
So I watched some of your alma mater, and I think they're pretty good. We obviously haven't seen them play anybody that good yet, and they struggled against Louisville, who I don't think is that good, but they've blown out some other teams. So never mind just whether they can beat a Clemson team without Trevor Lawrence, but do you think they are a team that could win the national title?
No, but I think they're a team that could win this Saturday. I've watched, as you guys know, because you're sort of living my bubble screen existence this autumn and watching more games on TV as opposed to being at games. I think that Ohio State and Alabama are a cut above. Clemson went healthy right with them, but I just don't think Notre Dame would compete with Ohio State or Alabama. But this weekend in South Bend with Clemson missing the players that it's missing, I think Notre Dame has an excellent chance. It's going to be a close game.
I remember when the line, actually Bruce and I said on the air on Sunday, we kind of openly on our podcast on Sunday, openly speculated what the Vegas spread was going to be. And I think we said 10.5, and then came out that day and it was 5.
I said 5. I've got it on record before the Clemson BC game was over. I wrote a friend of mine and I thought it would be -5.
Well, how much of that? I mean, I assume it would have been higher, but no Trevor Lawrence, no. And then, basically Clemson's most important defensive players in the middle of the defense aren't playing. So if you're Notre Dame, what's that?
I was going to say, I think that's more important than the Trevor Lawrence absence, especially because DJ Uiagalelei, if I'm saying that close to correct.
You are. DJ Uiagalelei. Thank you. TV guy.
I don't have to speak it, though. I'll spell it correctly. He got a game under his belt last weekend, and he was in a pressure situation down 28-10. So I think that was excellent practice for him, which is why, like what you were saying, Stuart, I think Skalski being out and Mike Jones being out is a bigger deal for Clemson.
John, so I want to circle back with the point you made about you don't think they can win the national title, but you do think they can win Saturday. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably in line with how I think right now. So you watch Notre Dame really closely, and I wanted to know, I think they're really good on the offensive line. Ian Books played a lot. I think they have more speed than they had years ago, at least on defense. Mm-hmm. Dalen Hayes looked like he gave him an edge rusher last weekend, which I felt like had been kind of suspect at this point before that. So what is it that you think Notre Dame is missing from being able to beat a truly elite team at its best?
They're missing Kevin Austin, Braden Lindsey, and Jordan Johnson. wide receivers who can make a difference. It's funny to me, in the beginning, the first like weekend of college football season, College Game Day was talking about Ian Book, and I get it. And then people start talking about Kieran Williams, the, you know, the running back who came out of nowhere. Todd McShay, actually, and candidly, I give him a lot of credit for it. He said before he watched film of Notre Dame Pittsburgh, he didn't know who Kyron Williams is. But here's the thing, and our friend Pete Sampson would back me on this. The players no one's talking about who they not no one, but the average person doesn't know about are Kyle Hamilton, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Isaiah Foskey. These guys are studs. Myron Tagovailoa-Amorosa. These are the defensive players who, to me, are more important in Notre Dame than Dalen Hayes. But Dalen Hayes has been around a while, and he gets a lot of attention. He's good. He's played better lately. But Kyle Hamilton, I think, is the best player on the defense, if not the team. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is right there with him. And these are, this is a good defense. I mean, you look, they didn't play very well against Louisville, but they only gave up a touchdown. Last, you know, against Pitt, they gave up 3 points. Last week, defensively, they only gave up a touchdown. So that's three straight games of a touchdown or less. That's why people will talk about Ian Book, because that's who they know. The reason Notre Dame has a chance to win this game is they have their best defense, probably under Brian Kelly, at least since Manti Te'o is there.
Now I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the average listener out there going, come on, guys. I've heard this before. I heard how great Notre Dame's defense was, and then Justin Ross smoked them in the playoff. I heard how great Manti Te'o was, and Alabama ran right over them. You know,
you're right.
I'm going to let you make the case. Why is this year different?
This is a defense with a lot of playmakers, and I just named a few of them. Kyle Hamilton plays a different type of position than Isaiah Simmons, and Pete loves Kyle Hamilton the way I love Notre Dame tight ends, and it's just like off the charts. And by the way, I think Michael Mayer, their freshman tight end, is going to wind up being the best pro 5 years from now. He is the nation's going to get introduced to him on Saturday night. He already looks like a senior. And he's just an absolute stud, and he doesn't drop anything. So another reason they have a chance, you know, it's funny. It's like they have a chance because of the things we mentioned, and they have a senior offensive line. Where they're sketchy is they do not have enough playmakers on offense, whereas Clemson does. And that's going to be what, if any reason they lose, that'll be the reason. But I think their defense is legit.
I'm going to throw this out to Stu as well, John. Just what you said is kind of my, you know, if you have a terrific tight end, and obviously they do, Penn State certainly does. We see, you know, a handful of teams, but if you're like, I don't know if they have a Jahan Dotson outside. Now, their offensive line is certainly better than Penn State's. And I'm not saying they're Penn State, but I'm just saying to get to this point. Stu, when was the last time you remember a team won a national title with kind of like underwhelming skill talent?
Certainly before this run of, you know, trading off well, what about the 2015? No, Alabama had the 2015 Alabama team had an underwhelming quarterback, Jay Coker, but they had Calvin Ridley, I believe.
Yeah. Certainly, I mean, they have wild guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's funny, you know, and that's the thing, like Braden Lindsey came out, and he's been underwhelming. This was the Oregon state champion in track, setting records, super speed guy, and he pulls a hammy late in the 45-3 win against Pitt, and he's never turned out to be the Golden Tate speedster people have wanted him to be. Kevin Austin is the Monday through Thursday All-American who never has made it to the field for different reasons. Now he's injured for the rest of the season, and then they have this five-star freshman, and Notre Dame isn't Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. They don't have a slew of five-star guys. They get one or two a year. Jordan Johnson is a five-star freshman wide receiver who I do not believe has made it onto the field yet. So again, like you're hearing, he's making incredible catches in practice. Is he going to get into the game? Will he have any impact on the game? No. So you're like, that's the Notre Dame's impact offensive players are Tommy Tremble and Michael Mayer, who are both tight ends, at least when the ball's in the air. So that's why Bruce, when you asked if they could win the national championship, I don't see it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bruce keeps bringing up national championship, but I say let's go baby steps here, okay?
Like, I agree.
We've got some – that program's got some milestones it needs to check off before it can get – start talking that. But here's what I'm curious about, John. First of all, I don't know where – I mean, I assume you fall on the very pro-independent, right, in terms of Notre Dame's identity. If this were a normal season, mm-hmm. Notre Dame would play this game, and if it would lose – they're probably done in the national championship race or, you know, correct. In the playoff race.
Correct.
This being their season in the ACC, people are already talking about, well, even if they lose, they're probably going to play them again in the ACC championship.
Correct.
Let's play that out. If that happens, if Notre Dame ends up getting into the playoff because they got to play in a conference championship game for once,
mm-hmm.
why aren't you joining the ACC tomorrow?
Because I don't believe in playing the same team twice in a season. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I don't think it's great for the fans. I don't think it's great for the schools. And again, let's say like that scenario happens and Notre Dame loses once and wins once. Do I want to see Notre Dame and Clemson both in the playoff with a potential third matchup? I don't. And we can all go back to 2011 and how much of a turd the LSU-Alabama rematch was. Maybe I think that game probably ushered in the college football playoff more than any other single game. So for those reasons, I'm against it. I read your story this morning on Thursday morning. And what I found interesting is I don't know if you make the point explicitly, but you basically said that Notre Dame's the best team in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I found sort of humorous.
To be clear, we're not talking, if people haven't read the story, it's not about this season specifically. Right. I looked at poll data across the whole Brian Kelly era and the notion that Notre Dame is overrated and they never win these big games. And that's pretty much true. They don't do well in the top 10 games for sure. But
no.
Compared to Wisconsin, compared to Michigan, Nebraska, though they
haven't,
Penn State. Yeah. They're not exactly the most glaring example of overrated.
No, I have two nuggets. I did some homework for you guys. And so I wanted to make sure I got these to the listeners before we got sidetracked, if you don't mind. Number one, it's 15 years since Notre Dame's last game against a number one team, which is the longest period since they started rating in 1936 that the Irish have gone without facing a number one. The second note I found interesting is after the infamous Anthony Davis game of 1973, when Notre Dame took a 23-6 lead into halftime and then got crushed, I think it was 55-23. After that game, Notre Dame has played 11 number ones. And in that time, they've won five and they've lost six. But of the six losses, four of them basically came down to a play, and which are still losses, no doubt about it. But they've only really been blown out twice in the last 11 games versus number one in the last, 47 years. So games that everybody remembers, like, you know, the Bush push game, what was the other one that comes to mind? There's a couple others that are escaping my memory at the moment, but they've played number ones and they've just come within a whisker. Oh, the Rocket Ismail Phantom Clip game against Colorado was another number one loss that they lost 10-9. So they've usually been competitive of 11 games against number one since 1973. There's only been two that they were basically outclassed.
Well, even more recently than that, these aren't games against number one teams. So, you know, like you said, I mean, everybody remembers the blowout to Alabama, the blowout to Clemson a couple years ago. And there was also a pretty bad blowout to Miami that 2017.
That was ugly.
I mean, Jameis Winston, Florida State team, 2014, it comes down to a called off touchdown. The Clemson, you know, Dabo, bring your own guts game comes down to the last second. You know, the Georgia game, the year Georgia went on to reach the national title game was very close. Like, they've had a lot of close calls in these games against highly ranked teams.
Yeah.
But they just haven't, don't pull it out.
No, they haven't gone over the top with Brian Kelly. And that's the one thing, you know, he has got, I don't know if any other Notre Dame coach has ever done this. He has had three 12 game win streaks in his time as Notre Dame in 10 plus seasons. No one, I doubt any other Notre Dame coach has done that. But he hasn't, you know, he's not elevated himself to the Parsegian, Leahy, Holtz level because he hasn't, like you said, won those big games that really mattered. By the way, I know you two have way too much important to do on a Saturday than to watch garbage time Notre Dame football. But a very funny thing happened at the end of the Florida State game last month. Florida State was going for a touchdown. Like, I mean, we're talking garbage time, 5 minutes to play. Going for a touchdown, they're on like the 6 yard line and they set up trips left and they throw the pass. And I think it went for a touchdown, but it got called back. Do you know why?
Pick play.
Offensive pass interference.
I have to admit, I did not realize that.
And I just started laughing out loud. Like, I was trying to figure out what was going on in Brian Kelly's head that first Florida State would even try that play. And that second, the referees would go, oh, you know what? We got your back. 5 years later, 6 years later, we got your back, Brian. Don't, you know, everything's even now.
The crazy thing is for Florida State, that's three coaches later.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, the storyline, I think, going into Saturday is what you've said, which is Brian Kelly has had a successful career at Notre Dame. He has erased the stains of Davey, Willingham, and Weiss, and that other coach who was there for 20 seconds. But he has not won the really big game yet. And that's what's going to, you know, and I'm sure he knows that better than any of us. And it just claws at him more than any of us. And that's what he wants, because it'll start putting him in a different conversation.
John, I'd like to shift gears a little bit, because I'm sure for the fans who are not Notre Dame or Clemson fans are probably like vomiting.
Enough already.
So, but you are a master of the bubble screen. It's a must read column whenever it goes on The Athletic. It's everything you need to know and a lot of stuff you probably don't need to know, but probably would be interested in once you've sold it. Two questions on it. And one, so for a long time you were based in New York City, but you've returned to your roots back in the desert in Arizona. Right. So I was going to ask you, beyond just that we're in a pandemic and how different 2020 is, how different has the TV viewing Saturday experience been for you in a completely different time zone on the other end of the country?
Oh, man. Well, you guys know, because you're both New York transplants who are on the West Coast. So I love it. I couldn't love it anymore. It's an early morning on Saturday. My morning is not as early as yours, Bruce, but I'm still up and, you know, clean shaven and everything before 6 a.m. here in Arizona. Although this week it'll be 7 a.m., so that's better.
Do you feel you have to be clean shaven to watch the pregame shows?
You know what? I just think, you know, if you're not prepared, if you're not there, you've got to be ready. So yeah, I am clean shaven, but like, we don't change clocks in Arizona because we're a defiant state. So it's now 7 a.m. for the beginning of shows. I love that. I love that it's done. Basically, I mean, we haven't had Pac-12 after dark yet this fall, so I'm done at like 9 o'clock. Love it, Bruce. I couldn't love it anymore.
Bruce, you had a second question?
I did, but give me a second. So my follow-up to that, John, as you're watching all this stuff, like, I'm curious, because I don't know if I've asked you this, but like, how do you budget everything so it's not just the kitchen sink you're throwing at your editor? Meaning like, you know, is it just, hey, what do you find the most interesting, or how do you kind of plot out your day as it relates to, well, I care a lot about the football, but I also care about some of these things? Like, do you stumble onto stuff? How much do you look back at Twitter and go, all right, I need to go, I didn't see this live, but I need to circle back with this. Like, I'm always curious because, you know, now, as you mentioned, I'm in studio now, not right now, but like, you know, you're looking at, I'm looking at whatever, 10 TVs. We only have sound on one. So for instance, a couple of weeks ago, our buddy Max Olson was texting me something about that he thought I would have known. It was basically Tim Brando having a little bit of a crisis on camera, I didn't hear it. Our game was on, but he wasn't. So how do you kind of put everything together like that?
So I'm an old man, and so this is how I operate. And I know if I were in my 20s, I'd probably operate differently. I do not have three TVs going at once. I don't even have two TVs going on at once. If I'm watching three games, I'm watching no games. I know it's like the whole old quarterback adage. So I just flip when a game goes to commercial, and I catch everything that I can. And I realize I'm never going to catch everything, but I also know that no one else is. And then if there's something big enough, you know, we follow the right people on Twitter, and it's going to get my attention on Twitter. And then all I do on Saturday is I just write notes. I don't try to write any of the column on Saturday. I just, all I'm doing is harvesting and, you know, just getting everything I can, reaping the information. And then I just wake up fresh on Sunday morning and start writing it. And I actually write the bubble. I actually write the BS wonders first because it's the easiest thing to get into. And it doesn't. And then that, you know, stimulates me to write about the other stuff. So I never write it in the form that anyone would read it, because the BS wonders is just short hits. And like I said, it's just like batting practice, and then it gets you into the other things.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, John, before you go, since you do cover college football TV, which includes the pregame shows, do you have anything you want to ask Bruce?
Are you going to be talking to anybody this Saturday, or is it just, I didn't realize the Big Noon Kickoff had the super spread offense. It's
get them all in, John. Will I be talking to somebody? I'll be talking to my kids.
Are you going to be in studio?
I will not be in studio this weekend. No. So how can I somewhat delicately kind of explain?
But it's out there, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is out there. So, so I will not be on the show. I'm not sure how many of my colleagues from the Big Noon, because I think there were some elements that are probably built into the show that had already been zoomed in or taped from like interviews they had done. But so I have tested, and, you know, knock on wood, I have tested negative.
Great.
So on, like, just a little, and I don't want to go too far into this because I probably shouldn't go too far into this. So the way it worked out was, I think it was on election night. It was, I got a call from a random number, and they were basically from HR and just told me that somebody I had a quote unquote close contact with on Saturday had tested positive. So then you're like, your mind is kind of racing, because they don't, you know, they don't tell you who, and you kind of start thinking that part through. And then when I eventually found out who it was, I was like, I don't think I was around that person for, you know, like from 6 feet away,
right,
for really much time at all. But, you know, the expression you hear all the time is out of abundance of caution. So now you're just kind of adjusting your family and your schedules and what you do, and telling, you know, the people you need to tell, hey, we're not going to be around for this. I'm not going to be coaching baseball this week, and we're not coaching soccer this week. So a little bit of an adjustment. It was, you know, I was looking forward to going out to USC.
Yeah. You guys were going to have a
game. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I mean, and I guess nobody from Fox is going to be at USC, right? I mean, they're going to have a studio show, but not, I'm guessing. No.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be. I know it's going to be an hour show. I know Carissa Thompson, who does our NFL show, who's super talented, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's going to be the host. And I think some of our NFL people will be contributing more than before, more than normal. You know, as it worked out, like when the show goes on the road, like it happened 2 weeks ago, our Big Noon Kickoff show, everybody but me was at Ohio State. And so
when you stayed in the block.
Yeah, I stayed in the block. But so when that happens is they need somebody to be back in the studio to handle half times and fills, which are basically the lag time between a game that may run long or a game that may run short before it gets to the next game. And so myself, Emmanuel Acho, and Mike Hill is the host. And so I was scheduled when I was actually not going to be watching. I was going to do my stuff in the Big Noon show and then come back to studio before the game started before the 9 a.m. kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
To just basically do what I was assigned to do during the rest of it. So now I think Emmanuel is probably going to have a lot of work on Saturday, and he can handle. He's brilliant.
He's good. He's really good.
He is. Yeah, he's incredibly smart and everything. And so that's what it's going to be like on Saturday. So just kind of life in 2020.
Well,
we wanted John to definitely do a bubble screen this week, even before all this, because it's the return of the Pac-12 after dark. Yes. It's Notre Dame Clemson. It's a very, you know, there's a lot of material there. Do you Do you think now that your column is going to be a lot about Terry Bradshaw's debut as a college football analyst?
Listen, I'm just happy to get an exclusive with Bruce Feldman. I mean, this is big right here. We're definitely, you know, that hour I will definitely be, enjoying the Fox broadcast, the Big Noon Cookout. And Friday night's big. I mean, Friday night, BYU Boise I'm completely fired up about watching that game. So it's a 3 day weekend of bubble screen for me this weekend, starting at about 4:30 here local time. And can I say one last thing before, cause I don't know how much more time we have, and if it's okay,
go ahead.
All right. I wrote a piece about Maria Taylor, an ESPN about a week or two ago, and I really, really like her. And the only thing I wanted to add is Jenny Taft, who works for Fox, as good as everybody thinks she is, she's better. Like, she is excellent. And I don't know anybody I watch on Saturday who is better at their job than Jenny Taft.
Well, that is very kind of you to say. Stu and I can fill you in on a little secret. Jenny Taft is actually as nice in person as you think she is. like seriously, the three nicest people I think I've met in TV in the last 10 years are Jenny Taft, Kevin Burkhart, and Charles Davis.
Wow.
And I think you'd agree with me on the Charles Davis.
Well, Charles is as good as it gets. Yes. So that's nice to hear. And this was not solicited from anybody. You didn't know I was going to say that. I just watch her and she's a total pro. I don't think fans realize how hard it is to do what she does. And she makes it look easy, and she's, you know, good to watch, fun to watch on television. She's just like, there are some people who happen to have the jobs. There are some people you couldn't imagine anybody else but them doing that job. And she's in the latter category.
Yeah. I think there's two things that I'm always impressed with Jenny about, just beyond the, you know, just being nice, is her delivery is incredibly smooth. Like, she seems to be unflappable, and I have no idea what's going on in her head when she's seeming really calm. She may not be that calm. It's just like, she has a gift that she's able to not let somebody see if she's nervous or uncomfortable or tensed in a moment. But the other thing is, because of who she, because of how she is, a couple of weeks ago, like her crew did the did a TCU game, and Max Duggan had had a serious heart issue that they've detected in the COVID screening process. And he basically told her the story and shared it in detail. And I'm not sure how easily he would have done that. Like, I think that was the first time it really got out. And I know Game Day had, I think, has done something subsequent on him. But I think some of that is Jenny's very easy to talk to. And that stuff is not, don't take that for granted. I mean, you guys have, you know, both obviously have worked in the business for a long time. It's like, sometimes people don't tell everything to, you know, like that, just anybody. So I think that's where some of that demeanor and everything you're kind of hinting at, John, I think that's where it really pays off.
Yeah. She's just, I remember she did an open from, I want to say it was the Ohio State Michigan game 2 years ago.
In the middle of the crowd, right?
In the middle of the crowd, yeah. Everyone going crazy. And she was doing it like she was in a classroom all by herself and never stumbled on a single word. That's so much hard, as you know, Bruce, that's so much harder than it looks.
I'll tell you, I'm thrilled this turned into Jenny Taft Appreciation Hour. I'm so happy for her. She is the nicest person. I enjoyed working with her at Fox. Now, here's this quick story. So when I first started working there, so it would be 2014, she was, you know, she was like doing the D college football game, but her main gig at that time, as Bruce remembers, was she was the motocross sideline reporter. If that, I don't even know if that's the word you use. Is there a sideline in motocross? She was the motocross reporter. But we were all in New Orleans for the Ohio State Alabama Sugar Bowl semifinal on New Year's Eve. We're at a bar, and this guy comes up who recognizes her from motocross and starts talking her ear off. And I'm like, should we try to get him out of here? Like, you know, doesn't the TV reporter want to be left alone on New Year's Eve? Nope. She talked to him like they were best friends, like, wow, like a family member, like that. She's the real deal. So we'll have to make sure she listens to this podcast.
Onward and upward, Jenny Taft. Or, you know, yeah, it's nice to, you know, like, and getting to talk to Maria Taylor. I hadn't ever spoken to her one-on-one before. She was fantastic. And again, another person like Jenny Taft who belongs in the role they have. And that's, it's good to see when that matches, you know, if someone matches their role. But love Jenny Taft, love Maria Taylor. And I'm glad we got to say that and not have to talk about Notre Dame the whole time.
Well, we look forward anxiously. First of all, nobody looks forward to the bubble screen more than Dan Uthman, because he gets to see the unedited version. Before some stuff gets left on the cutting room floor. But Bruce and I are anxiously looking forward to the finished product, because I do think this is going to be a heck of a college football weekend to watch on TV.
I'm very excited about this weekend. It is going to be a great week. And for everyone listening, if you haven't read it yet, Bruce has Notre Dame to cover the spread. Stuart does not, but they both have Clemson winning. I've got Notre Dame by a point, winning by a point.
Wow, there you go. It's not often we get three different opinions about the game on one show. All right, John. Thank you, John. As always.
It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.